Iowa with its biggest win at home since 1985, and there are no asterisks. More on it coming up during week 177 of Brad's Branded Thoughts. This is from the Hawkeye of the Storm. Are you a Hawkeye fan living in Story County? Well, if you are, great. If not, we've still got you covered. Introducing From the Hawkeye of the Storm, your source for original Iowa content from the Eye of the Storm, the Hawkeye of the Storm, Ames, Iowa. That's right. Our Hawkeye platform, hosted by StoryCounty.news, strives to offer a unique perspective that you won't find anywhere else. Despite living amid the sea of red that is Cyclone Country, we make it our aim to entertain and inform Hawkeye fans everywhere. From live programming following an Iowa athletic event, to our on-demand podcast, Brada's Branded Thoughts, which you can access through YouTube, Spotify, Apple, Anchor, Amazon, and more, our goal is to always offer cutting-edge black and gold content. In addition, catch our weekly college football picks throughout the season as you get prepped for the weekend ahead. And the great thing about all of our content is it's all free. Join us regularly here at From the Hawkeye of the Storm, and be sure to subscribe to our sister channel, Iowa Football at the Voice of College Football. That's Iowa Football at the Voice of College Football on YouTube, as we have teamed up with Mark Rogers and former Iowa Football assistant coach Don Patterson to bring you live post-game shows after every Iowa football game. Watch, chat, and even call in to let your voice be heard each and every weekend this fall. Want to learn how you can further support us? Visit our video description on each and every YouTube video we publish. And then, of course, enjoy the content. It's From the Hawkeye of the Storm, hosted by StoryCounty.news, for the best Hawkeye content in the area. This is week 177 of Brada's Branded Thoughts, and From the Hawkeye of the Storm, we're talking about, as we previewed just a moment ago, Iowa's biggest home win, Iowa football's biggest home win since 1985. There are no asterisks on this win. All right, we're going to talk about why that is. But let's just take a moment to reflect on what just happened on Saturday evening. Iowa down 17-3 against a top four Nittany Lions team at home with an offense that has struggled basically all year. I mean, the Iowa offense has been good at times, but for the most part, it's been this defense that's put Iowa's offense in good field position, which continued on Saturday. And let's not take anything away from this defense. But when Brian Ferentz needed to make a big call, when Spencer Petras needed to make a big throw, when Nico Reganey needed to make a big catch and run, when Keegan Johnson needed to make a big catch, and what a heck of a run, all those guys came through, all right? So it's time to give Iowa's offense some love. There's no question they showed out late in the game on Saturday and did enough to win this football game. Obviously, the defense was incredible. I will say early in the game, Iowa, again, falls down 14-3, then 17-3. We were wondering, would Iowa's offense have enough in its tank to catch up to a Penn State offense, which had kind of jumped on Iowa early and caught the defense off guard? I was a little bit surprised that Phil Parker didn't deploy more of a spy technique on Sean Clifford. I don't know that he ever did. That was a bit surprising to me. But overall, you got to give this defense credit. Now, I want to address a couple of things. And of course, if you're an Iowa or a Penn State fan, you are aware of this rhetoric this week, this narrative that Penn State would have won without Sean Clifford. Look, I addressed it. Coach Don Patterson addressed it after during our post-game show after the game on Saturday over at Iowa at the Voice of College Football. If you haven't already checked out that post-game, swing on over to Iowa at the Voice of College Football on YouTube. But the bottom line here is football is a game of toughness. Football is a game just like basketball is a game where you get injured. Tennis is a game where you can get injured. Soccer is certainly a game where you can sustain injury. Now, football is more physical, but you see some gruesome injuries in basically every sport. Football is a game where injuries are part of the game. That's just how it is, especially when you're active, Heck, I could go outside and run a quarter mile and sprain my ankle and be down for a week. It's part of being athletic. It's part of being active, whether you're playing football or not. That's the first thing. Second thing here is, we don't want to question whether Sean Clifford is serious. Obviously, he was hurt enough to where he couldn't return, and it sounds like he may not be back for a while, although James Franklin doesn't like to divulge anything on the injury front, which that's his right. But the bottom line, it was a clean hit by Jack Campbell. Okay, it was 14-3, third down. 14-3 and third down, mind you. Jack Campbell comes on a blitz that was not picked up by the Penn State offensive line or a backer, and a back. And it was a clean hit, clean shot, all right? And that's on Penn State for not protecting their quarterback better, right? So Sean Clifford gets knocked out of the game. It's fourth down. They kick a field goal, make it 17-3, right? Again, he got hurt on third down. Field goal was kicked, made it 17-3, Iowa ball. Iowa comes down, puts together a beautiful drive, and scores to make it 17-10. Now, there's this narrative amongst Penn State fans this week that somehow it was 17-3 when Clifford, when Roberson came in for Clifford, which is absolutely false. I just outlined exactly how things went down. It was 17-3 when Campbell took a shot, a clean shot, at your boy, Sean Clifford, all right? And then Roberson came in because your defense couldn't stop Iowa's offense. It was 17-10. So let's dismiss this crap, this narrative that somehow it was 17-3 and it was obvious, well, Penn State was just destroying Iowa. It was a one-score game. It was a one-score game. 17-10, and your boy Taquan Roberson couldn't do a thing after that offensively. They score three more points from then on. Iowa wins 23-20. Again, partly because of the offense, partly because of defense, and a large credit needs to go to Torrey Taylor and the kicking game, as well as Caleb Shudak, who's been spectacular this season, who we have not talked about nearly enough on this show or really anywhere talking about Iowa football. So let's dispel that narrative that Sean Clifford, oh, it was obvious they would have won had he stayed in. Maybe they would have. Maybe they would have. But let's stop playing this game of woulda, coulda, shoulda garbage and actually play football. You lost the game. That's all there is to it. You lost the game because you couldn't protect your quarterback, A, because your backup quarterback stunk against a great Iowa defense, because the Iowa fans are the loudest, best fans in the country, and you had, what, six false starts in this game with Taquan Roberson under center? I mean, look, you lost the game because you played a really good defense. And that's okay. I mean, it's okay to lose once in a while, right? I mean, Iowa hasn't lost yet, but it's okay to lose. Penn State's still a top 10 team. There's no question about it. And again, maybe Sean Clifford playing would have made a difference, but we don't know. You know, we could have. Look, I understand quarterback is the most important position on the field. Riley Moss has been one of the more important defensive players for Iowa this year. I mean, think about how many picks and pick sixes he's had this year. He left and didn't return. And I guarantee you, if Iowa had lost this game, we wouldn't have said, oh, Riley Moss didn't get hurt, we would have won the game. No, that's not how it works, okay? Now, would there have been a faction of the Iowa fan base that Petras gone down that said, well, that made the difference? Certainly. But the overwhelming response from Penn State fans that have said this is the narrative, this is how it is. If Sean Clifford were playing, they would have stormed, they would have rolled Iowa. First of all, get a grip and move on. Okay, you got a bye week, get Sean Clifford healthy. I am wearing the blue and white just to troll, all right? And I'm not usually a troll, but I'm tired of hearing about it. You know, we think about fan bases, and typically myself living here in Ames, Iowa State is sort of the most annoying fan base for me, with the exception being Nebraska. Penn State fans are giving Nebraska fans a run for their money. And I don't blame Iowa State fans, because I don't think Iowa State fans are delusional like Nebraska fans are, but I think Penn State fans are delusional like Nebraska. Okay, let's move on to the other big storyline this week as it relates to that Iowa-Penn State game. We heard fans booing as Penn State players went down on the field with injuries. All right, now, I say injuries because obviously there was a question of whether these injuries were legit. These were not just Iowa fans questioning this. We saw LeVar Woods, if you didn't see that video, you can Google it. I believe WHO Channel 13 uploaded some footage of LeVar Woods on the sideline after number 17. Let me grab the name of number 17. Arnold Ibikiti, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, the defensive end for Penn State. After he went down, LeVar Woods on the sideline with a nice little acting job, falling to the ground, kind of demonstrating what he just saw, number 17, and I think several others, if we had a chance to ask LeVar Woods, and he was honest, several other Penn State guys with a similar type of routine after Iowa had a big play in that game. So it wasn't just Iowa fans. It was the Iowa coaching staff that noticed it. Now, everybody wants to dog on Kirk Ferentz nationally. Oh, Kirk, you know, lost some. I've seen some people this week. Oh, I lost a lot of respect for Kirk Ferentz when he said this. We heard the same. We heard the same narrative last year after the offseason issues, people losing respect for Kirk Ferentz. We heard the same this week, people losing respect for Kirk Ferentz. You know, we heard it a little bit last year after they Kirk called three timeouts late in the game against Minnesota when they had the game in the bag. Listen, you lost respect for Kirk Ferentz. Just move along, because there's plenty of other people that really do respect Kirk Ferentz, and I'm one of those guys. So move along. If you lost respect for Kirk Ferentz, I don't think he wants your respect in the first place. So I'll say that. Second thing, he was asked. Chad Leistico of the Des Moines Register asked him about the claim, I guess, by some, and certainly the fan reaction to Penn State getting hurt, guys getting hurt. And all Kirk Ferentz said is the fans thought they smelled a rat, okay? And then that gets blown way out of proportion. That he was accusing Penn State of. I don't think Kirk ever outwardly said, I know he never outwardly said that Penn State was faking injuries. Now, if you are defensive as a Penn State fan or a coaching, or we can talk about James Franklin in a second, or as a staff member, maybe that tells you something in just the fact that you're defensive. But Kirk Ferentz never alleged that. But he is sticking up for his fan base, and I think rightfully so. Now, the fans, I've talked about my issues with booing. It seems like there's a little bit more booing this year. I heard somebody commented on one of our videos that perhaps it's because of Iowa serving alcohol at its games. There was plenty of alcohol. I mean, we all know the BAC levels across Kinnick Stadium is higher than the average, you know, the average individual in Iowa on a Saturday. So, you know, I think maybe there's something to be said for that. Maybe there's a little bit more alcohol going around. But look, I mean, people are drinking before, during, and after the games anyways. So maybe that has something to do with the increase in booing. I know James Franklin mentioned Iowa fans booing the football falling off the tee at the beginning of the game, and I think at a different point in the game it happened as well because of the wind. I get it. I mean, I don't think there's any reason to boo something like that. Fans are eager and they're anxious. They want to see football when it continues to happen. I think the boos were primarily, not to defend the fans that were booing when the football blew off the tee, but I think when that happened, the fans were booing the referees not immediately sending another player over to hold the football. You know, I think there's this rule where it's got to blow over twice, which seems to be a stupid rule. If you know that the wind is blowing, it's done it once, why do we got to do it again? Continue to draw this thing out. But that's a different discussion. But I want to address what James Franklin brought up during his press conference this week. Because, of course, Kirk addressed the media Tuesday. Franklin comes out against against Iowa on Wednesday. And one of the things that James Franklin did. Well, first of all, he had a 5-minute speech on this subject. He was asked about it, which he knew he was going to be asked about it. He brings out a sheet of notes, and he starts reading off these notes about every reason why Iowa's logic about the allegations that Penn State players were faking injuries, why that narrative or those allegations is false. And one of the reasons he brought up why it's obvious they'd be false is because Iowa doesn't run tempo. So why would Penn State want to fake injuries and slow the game down? I guess James Franklin thinks every Iowa fan and every college football fan is just stupid, okay? Because the idea that faking an injury only affects teams that play up-tempo or no huddle, he actually used the term huddle, right? Iowa's a huddle team. So the idea that only affects teams that are no-huddle teams is ridiculous. Anybody with a brain, anybody who knows college football, Don Patterson is an excellent resource. We have him on our post-game shows each and every Saturday over at Iowa, the voice of college football. Anybody that understands football knows that when you knock off a 10-yard run, especially in a game where you struggle to get yardage consistently, or you knock off an 18-yard pass play, the rhythm that's associated with that, especially for the back and the line, is tremendous. And so let me read you some statistics, and I want to give Coach Don Patterson a shout-out on this because he's the one who went back and did this research on each and every one of these Penn State injuries. Now, we're not claiming that every Penn State injury was fake, and I'm not even specifically claiming that any specifically were fake. I want to give you the evidence, though, and you can make the judgment for yourself. First of all, 5 of the 6 injury timeouts for Penn State were on defense. All right, Clifford's injury did not did not include an injury timeout. Okay, so there was no injury timeout associated with Clifford. I believe Penn State's tailback went down. We're not even going to talk about that one. I don't think there's any reason to think that one was fake. I think that one, there's no question it was legit. But five injury timeouts on defense. Now, P.J. Mustipher, that's the one James Franklin kept referring to yesterday as why would we want our star defensive lineman to go down? Again, no one's claimed that P.J. Mustipher was faking an injury. P.J. Mustipher apparently is out for the season now. No one ever claimed he was going to that he was faking that injury. Now, put this in perspective, what was the previous play prior to P.J. Mustipher going down? It was a negative one-yard run for Iowa. A negative one-yard run for Iowa. So there's no reason to think that P.J. Mustipher was faking injury, okay? We wish him the best. We hope he recovers and can play football again soon. Let's move on to number one, Jaquan Brisker. James Franklin brought him up. Why would we want our star safety to come back, go down? Well, let me tell you the previous play prior to Brisker going down. It was a 20-yard run for Iowa. And what happened shortly thereafter? Jaquan Brisker comes back in the game. And it was interesting, James Franklin brought up the fact that Brisker went down twice against Wisconsin, and the fans didn't boo him then. You might be incriminating yourself right there, Franklin. But Brisker came back shortly. Number 91, Devon Elise goes down. What were the previous two plays? A 4-yard run, but that 4-yard run was preceded by a 22-yard pass play. Devon Elise goes down, and what do you know? Comes back quickly, and he's back in the game for Penn State. Oh, by the way, that one was Iowa was driving into deep into Penn State. Most of these were actually Iowa driving into Penn State territory when the injuries occurred. Number zero, safety Jonathan Sutherland. He goes down, did not return. That's one that James Franklin brought up. Again, not going to claim anything because no one's ever claimed that every time there was an injury timeout, it was a illegitimate injury timeout. Now, that one was preceded. Sutherland's injury was preceded by an 11-yard pass play, but again, he did not return. So, had he returned, there could be some suspicion there, right? But we won't even address that one. How about this one? Arnold, and now I'm going to butcher this name, and I'm not trying to do that. Arnold Ibikiti, number 17, defensive end for Penn State. He goes down after an 18-yard run for Iowa. He quickly comes back into the game. So there you have one, two, three defensive players, each of which went down after some big-time offensive plays for Iowa. And you say, well, you know, an 18-yard run and a 22-yard pass play and a 20-yard run, those aren't huge. They are in a Penn State-Iowa game. All right, they are for an Iowa offense that doesn't move the ball very much. So it makes sense why Penn State would want to slow things down. Again, I'm not going to say specifically that every single one of these guys wasn't shaken up or cramping. Again, we don't know that. But I think the fact that James Franklin went on a 5-minute rant and he prepared notes for this, defending the injury timeouts, defending himself against Kirk Ferentz, as opposed to just saying, look, what Kirk said yesterday, I don't agree with. Thought it was a low blow, but I'm moving on. I'm thinking about our bye week. I'm thinking about the health of our team. No, he prepared a 5-minute speech to rip Kirk Ferentz and the Iowa fan base. And then he took the moral high ground and said, I don't think booing this kind of thing is good for college football. Yeah, because Penn State, of all the college football programs across the country, has the right to take the moral high ground. Yikes. Anyways, number 17, we're going to call him Mr. Arnold. Hey, Arnold, came back in the game quickly. 18-yard run preceded, or excuse me, the 18-yard run preceded the injury. And you see during this game on Fox, a couple of trainers for Penn State, they come out. The girl starts working on his right knee. She's rubbing his right knee, and all of a sudden she starts rubbing his left knee. So either we have some weird masseuse training going on during the game, or there's something weird going on, all right? And what do you know? About 2 minutes later, Franklin walks out, and as this girl's rubbing one of his knees, Franklin stands there. No words between James Franklin and Arnold. He just stands there with his arms crossed, almost like a criminal returning to the scene of the crime. And then what do you know? Number 17 gets up, walks off the field, returns in the game. To act like it's not reasonable to act with some suspicion towards this, it's being a bit ignorant, okay? And let's be honest, James Franklin, this it would be totally different if it was Paul Christ or, you know, I'm trying to think of another really respected coach in the Big Ten, Brett Bielema even. I think Kirk obviously has a lot of respect for Brett. You know, or probably even Jason Day. I'm thinking golf. Ryan Day. I mean, I don't know what Kirk's relationship with Ryan is. You know, he is an Urban Meyer former assistant coach, so maybe that's a bad example. But there are coaches across the country that Kirk Ferentz has a lot of respect for. Matt Campbell would probably be one of those. I mean, as much as Iowa State fans don't like each other, Matt Campbell, I think I have a lot of respect for Matt Campbell. I don't think he would pull some crap like this. I don't. So this isn't, you know, there's no vendetta against James Franklin or Penn State. I had a lot of respect for Penn State going into this game. But this just screams suspicion to me. Again, can't be conclusive. Nobody should be conclusive. The only people that know would be the coaching staff and these players. So, you know, again, best wishes to Jonathan Sutherland. Don't know his status. Best wishes to PJ Mustipher. And if the fans booed those injuries, that's unfortunate. But you can see why the fans would be suspicious of injuries given what we saw on Saturday. So I hope moving forward fans don't assume that, and I don't think they will. Typically, Iowa fans are good about cheering when a guy gets up after a gruesome injury or any injury for that matter. But it was apparent that these guys were not seriously hurt. Were they hurt at all? That's up for debate. But I wanted to address that. I want to take the rest of this time of this podcast to talk about Iowa, talk about Purdue, because certainly this is a huge win on Saturday, a historic win. Again, biggest home win since 1985. But what Iowa has to avoid now is allowing this game to become larger than life, so to speak, to become, especially this Purdue game moving forward. This I wouldn't call it a trap game because they get a bye week after Purdue, but can they come off this high from Saturday? Can they kind of block off the outside noise as far as the controversy with Penn State? I think they will do that. I can't imagine that this is affecting the players' preparation. I don't think Kirk would have brought it. Kirk was asked about it, but I don't think Kirk would have even really addressed it as much as he did if he had thought that this was going to seep into the locker room or the players were distracted by this. So I don't anticipate this being a problem. I will say Purdue is a scary team. I had Iowa beating them heading into this year. Remember, my preseason predictions were Iowa losing to Iowa State, losing to Maryland, and losing to Northwestern. They've gotten past Iowa State and Maryland. Now you look at this game as a bit more of a trap game because of how big this Penn State game was. Of course, preseason, we didn't know it was going to be number three versus number four. We didn't know Iowa would be undefeated. Purdue is down. It's star running back, Xander Horvath. I say star running back. His biggest game of his career was probably against Iowa last year. Now, keep in mind, when Iowa played Purdue last year, they were down Jack Campbell. They were down Seth Benson. Now, they did have Nick Niemann. Certainly, he helped fill a bit of that void last year, but they were playing a young Justin Jacobs and a Barrington Wade who, you know, was okay at times, but boy, you match up Barrington against some of these skill players in the Big Ten, he had a tough time, and certainly had a tough time last year against Purdue. So Purdue threw for a lot of yards. Iowa fumbled the ball twice. That was a huge part in that game. Penalties were immense in game one last season. And remember, I don't want to say this is an excuse for Iowa losing. I don't think I ever brought this up even after Iowa lost to Purdue, but remember, some of the Iowa players that had formed that lawsuit against Kirk Ferentz, Brian Ferentz, Gary Barta, and the university, they announced that lawsuit during game prep for Purdue. So I did think that was a factor going into it. It was a road game. But Purdue, as far as I'm aware, is down Xander Horvath for this game once again. They do get David Bell. David Bell has 26 catches his last two appearances against Iowa for over 100 yards in each of those appearances. He's obviously a weapon. We heard this week from Kirk Ferentz that Riley Moss will miss this week. Hopeful that we get him back for Wisconsin. It sounds like there's a chance that could happen. I wouldn't hold your breath, but there's a chance that could happen. But he will be down for the Purdue game. So in comes Terry Roberts, who played huge late in that game against Penn State, defending Jahan Dotson, who Iowa really kept in check with under 50 yards. So Terry Roberts, who, you know, Kirk Ferentz has kind of viewed as a starter for quite some time, will now have to fill Riley Moss's void. And I'm not that worried about it. I will say this. Jeff Brohm has an innate ability to really target Iowa's weak spots in the secondary. And he's been able to do that. And I've talked about Iowa's issues in the past with its secondary and struggling to, you know, really shore up both sides of the field, because you've had, you know, Desmond King, and you have a Greg Maben who plays well at times but could also get burned at times. You had that in 2017 and 18. Riley Moss was a victim of that against Purdue 1 year. Matt Hankins was a victim against Purdue. I don't believe Matt Hankins will be a victim this year. Certainly, I think if you're Jeff Brohm, you're going to attack Terry Roberts' side of the field. And now you got to wonder if someone goes down or if Iowa has to play more dime or even nickel, probably more dime against Purdue, who's that next guy in? I mean, is it a Jamari Harris? You know, are they comfortable? Are you comfortable with Jamari Harris? You were comfortable sending in Roberts as that nickel or that dime guy, but are you comfortable now with Jamari? Hopefully the answer to that question is yes, and certainly injuries could play a factor. Let's also remember, Purdue is pretty darn good everywhere at wide receiver. I mean, you look at Milton Wright, 00 on the field. He's a guy who can have a big day. Again, we mentioned David Bell. And they've got two quarterbacks they really like to throw at you in O'Connell and Plummer. So both those guys are healthy. O'Connell was the guy last year against Iowa. So he knows, again, he's been there, done that against Iowa. This is a scary game. I mean, if you're an Iowa fan, you don't want to look past this game. I do think Iowa will win this game. If you want my picks, if you want my pick for this game and the rest of the games across the college football landscape, stay tuned. Friday night is when I release my weekly picks for not only the Iowa game, but also all the games across the college football landscape, the major games, I should say, which, again, if you're an Iowa fan, this is the biggest game of the week. I want to address real quickly, Alabama goes down. We saw Michigan struggle with Nebraska. You see the West really falling behind the East. Now you got five teams from the Big Ten East in the top 10 of the AP poll. Overall, what this does for Iowa, it does obviously strength of schedule-wise. It doesn't help you that the East is far ahead of the West right now. It helps you in the division race, no question. But one note here, Iowa is 3-0 against the East. Maryland, Indiana, Penn State, you could say that's not the toughest group of three teams that you have to face in the East if you're a West team, but certainly Iowa is taking care of business against each and every one of those. Alabama loses, helping Iowa's case for the playoff. But again, I said last week, I wasn't even talking about the playoff until Iowa beat Penn State. They've beaten Penn State now. They're number two in the country behind only Georgia, who plays Mike Stoops, and Kentucky this week. So that conversation can be had. And, of course, we'll talk more and more about it with Don Patterson during our postgame shows and with Mark Rogers during our weekly live shows with him. So, want to address a couple of recruiting marks before we head out. First of all, Iowa hosted, what, like 80 guys? Some ridiculous, maybe it was 40, I don't know, some multiple of 20 this past weekend against Penn State. I mean, tons of guys coming in. Now, not all of them had offers, and a lot of them probably won't get offers. But one major win coming out of this game against Penn State, running back Caleb Johnson out of Hamilton, Ohio. Obviously, we know when you can get a skill position player out of Ohio, that's a great thing. Here's a guy who's 6'1", 215, so he's got some size. He's not an Akron Wadley. Here's a guy at a high school who's big, but he doesn't run necessarily like a LaShawn Daniels. He's got better flexibility. He seems to have better agility. He doesn't have breakaway speed, and you wouldn't expect that from a guy who's, again, 6'1", 215. 247 Sports listed some other offers. I'm going to read those here for you. Iowa State, California. I believe he was committed to Cal prior to flipping to Iowa. Cincinnati, Kentucky, Michigan State, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, West Virginia. So you can see a couple Big Ten offers in there. Again, doesn't blow me away. And by the way, he is class of 2022. Doesn't blow me away with his top-end speed. But what we've seen here, and this is something that I've noticed, at least with these last two running back commits, and I'm talking about Caleb Johnson and Jazzian Patterson out of Florida, is we're seeing, I think we're starting to see the type of running back that Liddell Betts is going to target. And if you think about who Liddell Betts was at Iowa, here's a guy who really played with an underwhelming offensive line and had to break a lot of tackles, play big, and play maybe bigger than his size at times. And, of course, then he exceeded at the next level with Washington doing the same thing. We're starting to see what he wants at Iowa in a running back. Now, of course, you're going to defer to Kirk and Brian as far as ultimately who Liddell Betts in Iowa offers. But I think we're starting to see Liddell is going to target guys who have a little bit of size. You're not going to have a lot of undersized kids. I would be surprised. I'm not saying you're not going to take an Akram Wadley who's explosive behind the line of scrimmage, but again, you're going to want guys. You see Liddell Betts targeting guys who have a strong lower body, have balance. I mean, Caleb Johnson and Jazzy and Patterson both popped off to me as guys who are hard to take down. Again, not necessarily the greatest top-end speed. Kind of like Mekhi Sargent. I don't want to say, obviously, Liddell did not. He was not involved with the Mekhi Sargent recruitment. But Mekhi was a guy who had some speed, had some agility, but was also big enough to pack a punch. And he's a hard guy to bring down. And what do you know? Mekhi Sargent is the only active running back, only running back on an active roster who played college football at Iowa. So I see that in Caleb Johnson. Again, it's early. I say this with every recruiting pitch that I make or video that I make. It's hard to really, it's impossible to say, oh, this guy's going to be, a huge difference maker. I think Jazzy and Patterson is a notch above a lot of who Iowa has recruited at that position for a number of years, with the exception maybe being Tyler Goodson. So I'm excited about Jazzy, and I'm excited about Caleb. Obviously more excited about Patterson, but no, there's no question. Caleb Johnson, complete back, and we're seeing Liddell Betts is wanting to target guys who can kind of do it all. And boy, with this development at Iowa and this offensive line that's a pretty deep unit right now as it continues to improve, the future is bright for a guy like Caleb Johnson, who is class of 2022. Want to make a couple basketball notes before we head out here. First of all, Big Ten Media Days was held this past week. So was Iowa Media Day. So basketball season's less than a month away, folks. We're going to have a kind of a unusual season. You lose Garza, you lose Wieskamp, you lose C.J. Frederick to Kentucky, you lose Jack Nungy to Xavier. But Iowa's got a lot of young talent. I mean, think of the Murray brothers coming in. You got the McCaffrey brothers. You've got Riley Mulvey, who we interviewed here in our podcast a while back, who's a reclassified big man who's nearly 7 foot tall. Josh Ogundele is a guy who we're going to get to see a lot of this year. Do we see Carter Kingsbury as a walk-on get some spot minutes at times? Who knows? Arthur Ashe. Man, I'm thinking tennis and golf today. Austin Ashe is back as well. Again, I don't know. Are they going to go that deep? I have a hard time seeing that, especially with Jordan Bohannon returning. We'll talk about basketball. We'll have our official preseason show talking about hoops in the coming weeks. But practice is fully underway. And Slippery Rock, good old Slippery Rock basketball team, will come to Carver in less than a month. Big recruiting note, though, here for Iowa. Another win for Fran McCaffrey. Big man Owen Freeman out of Bradley, Illinois, commits to Iowa. He's fringe top 100 by a lot of metrics, 3-4-star kid. But an impressive group of offers for Owen. Wisconsin, Butler, Illinois was in on him hard, offered him. Indiana offered, Marquette, Michigan State offered. That's always a huge plus when you see Tom Izzo offer a big man. Ohio State, Purdue, Wake Forest, Western Illinois. So a nice impressive list for Owen. And keep in mind, he's class of 2023. So he's 6'10 now. I said the same thing with Riley Mulvey, who was committed as a junior. Maybe we see Owen Freeman gain another inch or two. So if he ends up being a real 7-footer, if you watch his tape, now again, I want a disclaimer right here. Tape does not tell us everything. Watching huddle tapes does not make you an expert. Watching YouTube highlights does not make you an expert. Does not make me an expert. So I'm not going to sugarcoat this. Owen Freeman, if you watch the tape that we have available, now certainly the coaches have a lot more tape than we do, but if you watch the tape that we have available, Owen is a big man who can dribble. He's got good handles for his size. He's not like a Jared Utoff at 6'10", who is a toothpick. Here's a guy who you could see getting pretty big. Again, not like Utoff. Jack Nungy got bigger as his career went on, but certainly was really, I don't want to say frail, but thin early on in his career, I could see Owen bulking up. I mean, he's already 220, so maybe he gets into the 230, 235 range when he gets to Iowa. He's got good handles, got good footwork. But again, I will say this. If you watch tape, he's primarily going up against really, really, at least in the tape that I've seen, subpar competition. Now, I give Owen credit on this. He looked pretty dominant going up against this competition, right? But again, as with every recruit, now certain recruits play in better AAU circuits, better high school teams, or better states. But and I'm sure there's tape out there of Owen doing just that. But I'm not going to read too much into what we saw. But again, good footwork, good hands, seems to be able to shoot the outside ball, which you got to be able to do as a big man now. Better handles than the average 6'10", 6'11 center. So Owen Freeman is officially a Hawkeye. Congratulations to him and his family. And of course, we look forward to seeing him in the black and gold. Thank you for joining us. Week 177 of Brad's Branded Thoughts. We talked about Iowa-Purdue. If you still want to get our pick for that game, tune in to From the Hawkeye of the Storm on YouTube, Spotify, Anchor, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Later this week, Friday night, we'll give you our official score prediction for that game. Again, Iowa-Purdue this Saturday, 2:30 p.m. Central Time on ABC. Again, contain Bell, contain Wright as best you can. This defense, these aren't elite quarterbacks in O'Connell or Plummer. That's why both of them are playing right now. I think Iowa will be just fine. I'll just say that. I think Iowa will be okay. But again, look for Brohm to target Terry Roberts on a lot of different plays and try to take shots down the field. So Iowa secondary can have a chance to either shine or give up some big plays. So it should be a fun one Saturday afternoon from Kinnick Stadium. Again, thank you for listening to Week 177. We will talk to you soon. Go Hawks.